to come on there and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
And welcome into Behind the Bench on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, live from the ESPN 1430 Fresno studios on this October 3rd, 2025. My name is Tanvir Singh, filling in for Phil on this Friday afternoon, filling in for the second day. We'll be going up to 5 p.m. today as we have Friday Night Lights tonight from Veterans Memorial Stadium. Paul Metters and Pat Hill on the call as Jamie Spurgeon and Clovis East Timberwolves travel to Veterans to face J.J. Howard and the Clovis West Golden Eagles. Great to be here. Back for day two. Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks to those watching on YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook. Remember to go to the YouTube channel and like and subscribe. Ask your mother, ask your brother, ask your grandfather to go and subscribe. We'd like to see those numbers go up. So anyone, go subscribe to the ESPN Fresno YouTube channel. You can also listen to this show on 1430 ESPN, the 1430 app, and the 1430 ESPN website, where you can also listen to Tony D's show. Thanks to Tony D for passing the rock to us. His show, Sportsline Bulldog Hour, talking all things Fresno State and more, hosted by Tony D on weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m. And Paul Metters' show, the Central Valley Sports Report, on all those spaces from 10 a.m. to noon on Saturdays as he talks about all things high school sports live from First String Sports. We have the Lee's Air Hotline, sponsored by Lee's Air Heating, Plumbing, and Roofing, as you can call into the show at 559-320-1430. That's 559-320-1430 to reach us on the show. So let's get into our Lee's Air weather check. We had a lot of rain last night, which was it was welcome for sure. We're sitting at 72 degrees right now. The high is going to get up to 73. And then after sunset, we're going to be chilly, 67. I mean, chilly for Fresno standards. Thankfully, it's going to be going down to the 60s as we go into the night. So if anybody's attending that Clovis East, Clovis West game, I advise maybe bring a jacket. Maybe bring a jacket to the game. What we got on deck for you guys tonight? Today's show, we're going to talk about the MLB wildcard round as it wrapped up yesterday with some interesting games. I'm going to predict every game of the week 5 slate in a Tanvir version of the Bonatti Blitz. In hour 2, Paul Metters is going to come in. We'll talk about high school football. We'll talk about the high school football slate coming up as we're into league play for basically every CIF Central Section team. And then we'll talk about Fresno State as they face Nevada, the Nevada Wolfpack at Valley Children's Stadium, and so much more. So, good show on tap. Can't wait to bring it to you guys as we will get you set for the weekend. On my right is going to be Jorge. He's producing the show today. I'm also joined by Sergio and Chloe, working the video side of things. How are you guys doing today on this Friday? Let's start with Jorge.
I'm doing great.
We can start with you. We'll start with Sergio. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, my bad.
Nah, it's fine.
I'm doing great. My Niners won last night, so let's go. Happy about that.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Chloe?
I mean, again, Niners win.
Let's go.
So that was an exciting game, though. The end of that, wow. I came home like just as it was finishing, and you had everyone in our living room like sitting on the edge of the couch. So that was great. But I'm doing pretty good. Had a really relaxing day. So I'm excited for the game tonight.
Nice. What about you, Jorge?
Are we all 49ers fans right here? I feel like we're all 49ers fans.
Yeah,
are we?
Yeah.
That's insane. I hope Phil's listening.
You know, I feel bad for Phil because his Red Sox lost yesterday. And,
right.
And then he saw the 49ers win. It must have been really hard for him. But it was great. I loved it.
Yeah, talking about my day yesterday, it was pretty crazy because, we got off of the show, and if you guys heard me on the show yesterday, I was pretty pessimistic about the game, you know, with all the injuries that were happening to the San Francisco 49ers. I didn't really have that sort of thought that the 49ers could even be close in this game. But I want to give a shout out to Jorge because he predicted the score correctly last week, and he correctly predicted the score this week. 49ers winning by 3 points. I'll tell you how the day went. So I get off. I come back. I put all of the headsets and everything back in the studio. We're up 7-0 to this point, and I'm thinking there is no way we win this game. And then Mac Jones goes down, and he gets another touchdown, and we're up 14-0. And I'm thinking, I don't know how this is happening. We got Kendrick Bourne. We got DeMarcus Robinson, and we got three plumbers out there along with Christian McCaffrey. I don't know how this is going to go. We get to the game. I was genuinely thinking about doing something at night because I was like, there's no way that we can do this. But I sat in, I watched the game, and what a game it was. As the San Francisco 49ers had some big performances along the entire defensive front by some young players. I think that starting off with this game, the shorthanded 49ers gutting it out is something that I love to see. I love to see last night. San Francisco went into the game without Brock Purdy, no Nick Bosa, George Kittle, no Ricky Pearsall, Juwan Jennings, yet still found a way to win. It was a really gritty and character-driven performance by them, and it really showed the depth and toughness by Kyle Shanahan. Just opening thoughts, guys. What did we think about how Kyle Shanahan did in his performance last night with Mac Jones starting at quarterback?
I thought that it was great. I was kind of like you. I did not really have a lot of faith going into this game as soon as like all the injuries were reported on and everything. But I watched that first drive and I saw how well everything was flying. The offense was hitting on all cylinders. I was like, maybe we have a shot. And so, you know, it just kept, you know, building up from there. And I think Shanahan called a great game. I think the defense stepped up huge, especially in the second half when the offense started to not, you know, play as well as they did in the first half. So,
right.
I mean, props to the defense and the Mac Jones for, you know, stepping up in those big moments.
For sure. Chloe?
I feel like Shanahan, like we saw last night, he's getting more used to those high pressure moments. And again, with the defense, like getting the calls out, making sure everyone's out there. And I know the week before was a little sketchy, especially once we sent Purdy back out there, gets injured, takes him back out. It was really scary kind of like looking at what this team was going into this game. And he had that high pressure going into the game, knowing it's a big game. We're out with a bunch of guys, and he still pulled it off. It was great.
Yeah, for sure. And I want to really, starting off this game, I want to talk about the 49ers as we have. I want to give props to three guys on offense. Mac Jones, first of all. Mac Jones, he played through a leg injury that obviously sidelined him for that Jaguars game. I truly believe if Mac Jones wasn't injured, he would have started that game against Jacksonville. But the fact that he was actually more injured than Purdy was, you just had to throw Purdy out there, right? And we saw how that went. Purdy, it didn't even look like he was 100% out there. But to come back and take the hits that he took, it was exceptional how he came back and drive after drive was able to give the 49ers a chance in this game. Another guy I want to shout out, Kendrick Bourne. For him to have three massive drops in the Jacksonville game and then come back and get 10-plus catches for 140-plus yards in a spot where we needed a wide receiver to do something like that, it is not only a testament to how good of a player he is. You know, this guy was on our team back in 2019 for the San Francisco 49ers. And, you know, his reliability came into question after those drops that he had in Jacksonville. And for him to come back with a performance like that, absolutely amazing. And then Christian McCaffrey, I think it goes to show that this guy is the best player on this team. He is the most important offensive weapon. You see the drop off this team has offensively whenever we don't have Christian McCaffrey on the field. and his ability to just move the chains time after time, even though the running game still was not that good. He had 22 carries for only like 50 yards. That is not a good clip for him, but to have 8 catches for 80 plus yards, still, it just goes to show how important he is. Is there anybody else like on the 49ers side of things? I know I went through a lot of offensive players. Defensively, is there some guys that you guys think had a massive performance? I know Alfred Collins has had that punch out. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I feel like Alfred Collins had that. I feel like he punched him in the face.
Yes.
He punched him in the face, like just, just a swing in the face, and then it just came to the ball.
The way Kyron fell, I thought he genuinely got knocked out. It was crazy.
It was beautiful. No, but I feel like the entire defense, a lot of rookies.
Yes.
There were like 5 rookies in there, and they were having a hard time with Devante Adams and Puka Nacua, and even the other guy, what's his name?
Tutu Atwell.
Tutu Atwell, yeah. They were having a hard time.
Yes.
And you could tell by the second half they were, they were exploiting those rookies out in the secondary. And they maintained their abilities, and they were crucial to stopping the run and
yep.
and staying in game. Because sometimes, especially rookies, could you make a mistake and all of a sudden you're down the whole game.
Right.
But they stay in there, and then even though they make mistakes, they continue to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like Marcus Siegel had a great game.
He did.
Yeah, he led the team in tackles with 13. He had a pass deflection. He came up in a lot of big moments. Before going into the game, they were doing the player intros. I'm like, who are our safeties? Yeah. Like I didn't know who our safeties were. Going into the game, and best believe I knew who Marcus Siegel was leaving that game. He had a great performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And to piggyback on that, the amount of young guys that are on this team is, going into the season, we didn't necessarily really know if this defense was going to be better than last year just because the amount of new faces. And what I can say is you got players like Upton Stout playing really, really well. You got D. Winters is a second or third year guy at linebacker. He's played very well. Alfred Collins and C.J. West in the interior have played good. So for all those people that were saying that this defense was going to just be as bad as last year, I think that 5 games in, we've seen a vast improvement in this defense. I want to flip it over to the Rams side of things. This was a bad loss for the Los Angeles Rams. In that preview that we had yesterday, Daniel, you and I, we were talking about how the Rams needed this game more than the 49ers. It's a home game. It's their first divisional game of the season. And I think Sean McVay had I would say the decision to go for it on fourth down was correct. The play call, I think, was bad. I would not have ran it with how good Stafford was playing. Chloe, do you think that the pass should have the Rams should have gone for a pass, or should they have just kicked the field goal at that point in that overtime?
I feel like you should have just kicked the field goal.
Yeah.
Like, when it's – I don't know. The Rams, though – there were some decisions they were making that were a little questionable, so. Mm-hmm. But I feel like you should just sort of kicked it.
Yeah, I guess the argument against kicking it would be you're giving the ball back to the 49ers, and it's crazy to say you would be scared of Mac Jones, but Mac Jones was torching him in this game. He had 320 plus yards and 2 touchdowns. I think that the decision to go for it on fourth down, I'm okay with. I think the biggest issue, as I said, was that you have Stafford. You put the ball in Stafford's hands. Stafford was playing really, really well. Devontae Adams and Puka Nacua both had great separation on these corners. I understand it's fourth and one. You also had a timeout to discuss this beforehand, and then you still go out there and run that play. I think the Rams just fell victim to... This was a game where it's on a short week. You come off of a very big win against Indianapolis, and you have a San Francisco team that's not really 100%. You kind of overlook them, and that's kind of the feeling that I got out of this game. Did you guys get that feeling from the Rams? Because I think from the jump, I didn't see the Los Angeles Rams that I expected to see.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like even the media was picking the Rams to win. I mean, I don't blame them.
Even I was picking the Rams to win. Come on. Yeah.
Especially with all the injuries, you know, piling up and everything like that. But definitely feels like the Rams were not prepared, especially like I mentioned earlier, that first offensive drive from the 49ers. It did not look like they were expecting that high level and that fast-paced nature of that offense coming out.
I agree, and not even just the media, like everyone around me are like, you know, you do the weekly picks and my family pulls up the picks, and I want to say 30 people out of our team, it's like 40, had all picked the Rams.
Yeah.
And it was questionable, and it was kind of like I feel like they had the mindset of like, oh, this is gonna be an easy game. But the Niners proved that, you know, these types of things happen. We have those rough weeks, and we're still a strong team. We still know how to show up and show out. So, but the whole game kind of felt like, and then you can kind of see towards the end when they were like, shoot, like, this is harder than we prepared for.
Right. Yeah, and I think one big thing that the Rams have an issue with, and I've seen it over these last couple of weeks, their linebacking core is... You know, they got Nate Landman and they have some other guys in that position, but the big matchup that I had going into this game was Christian McCaffrey in the passing game against these linebackers. And McCaffrey and Bourne and MVS, all these guys had some good receptions over the middle of the field, and they really tested the Rams defense, especially their linebackers. And that's how they got to the win. I think it was a great game plan from Kyle Shanahan. I think that those people that have repeatedly said to fire Kyle Shanahan, this is the type of game where you just look at them and just tell them to shut up, because there is no coach that you can possibly bring in right now on the market that is as good as as good as Kyle Shanahan. You have coaches like Sean McVay, but those guys are not leaving their team. So I think Kyle Shanahan had a great performance. Early coach of the year candidate? I don't know. I think that's where I'm leaning right now. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I would not be opposed to that. I would not be surprised, especially after the year that the Niners had last year. This bounce back, especially early on, and showing that you can coach your players through the adversity that they faced early on in the season. I think it's no question he should be in the conversation.
Yeah. Chloe?
I'm going to have to agree with that. Again, it's been a rough season. Again, looking at that roster and all the, like, I feel like just the people that they've played so far. And again, he clearly knows, and to me, he clearly knows what he's doing, and he knows how to handle it. So I could also see him being in the conversation for sure.
I think it's too early. I think it's too early to tell.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, Niners doesn't have the best, or the most competitive schedule out there. If you look at it. So I want to see them win a couple more and you know, compete against the higher us, which will be probably like the Buccaneers coming up or
right.
stuff like that, and see how that develops. And it may be if by, you know, week 9, week 10, that we're still, you know, very positive, then
yeah,
I'll put my vote out there.
I'm not by any means putting my vote out there, but I think 5 weeks in, I think there's no other coach, maybe Shane Steichen in Indianapolis, but there's no other coach that I can point to and be like, this team is 3 games above .500 with not their starting quarterback, their receivers, their tight ends, and their best defensive linemen, and they're still winning games. So,
you know, Tony D mentioned something real earlier today. He said the Niners could be 0-5.
Yes.
Because of how close those games have been.
And close games are won by great coaching staff. So, shout out to Kyle Shanahan. Big win for the San Francisco 49ers. They're going to Tampa next week. And, the Ravens will play the Rams. So, all right, don't go anywhere. When we come back, we'll talk about the rest of the NFL slate as we will predict week 5 of NFL games. You're listening to Behind the Bench here on ESPN Radio 1430 Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Hey, All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on ESPN Radio 1430 Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, so we have a Benatti blitz minus the Benatti to get through with here. The Benatti blitz is brought to you by our friends at Grocery Outlet. Grocery Outlet, part of our Tailgate Ready contest. Get Tailgate Ready and enter to win two tickets to the upcoming Fresno State home game and $100 to your next tailgate by visiting the Northwest, Southeast, Downtown, Sanger, and Kerman locations. $100 goes a long way towards feeding the people you bring to the Bulldogs game, so get Tailgate Ready with Grocery Outlet today. All right, let's get this thing rolling. It's the Benatti Blitz. Here we go. Me, Jorge, Chloe, we're all going to pick the games today. It's Sergio as well. Starting it up, we're going to the UK. We're going to go with Vikings at Browns. Both teams, they're limping into London with battered offensive lines, turnover-heavy attacks. Minnesota has Carson Wentz making his stop. Obviously, the Vikings, they had their game in Ireland, and they stayed in Europe. The Browns starting Dylan Gabriel after Joe Flacco had a terrible first 4 weeks. They're going to go with their second string. How much longer until they go to third string? I don't know, but I think this is going to be a very defensive game. I don't see many points in this game because both defenses are really, really good. Browns have a really, really good defense on the ground. I'm going to give the Vikings the win. I'm going to say 17-13 Vikings.
All right, I'll go first. I don't know. I feel like in London, the Vikings don't do that well, like, overseas. But
they didn't play that well last week. So.
But I don't think the Browns are good either. I mean, they don't have a quarterback, really, to be honest. So I'm going to go Vikings, too.
Sounds good. What about you guys?
Give me the Vikings. I just think they're the more well-rounded team in this situation. I think putting Dylan Gabriel out there against this Viking defense is a death sentence. So I've got the Vikings in this one.
I'm going to take Vikings by 7.
All right. Next game, Raiders at Colts. This is going to be a trench battle. Colton Miller is out on IR for the Las Vegas Raiders, so they're going to turn to Stone Forsythe, and this anemic running game is going to lose one of their only bright spots on the offensive line. So we'll see how Ashton Jeanty does. On the flip side, Jonathan Taylor, he's an offensive player of the year candidate, in my opinion, with the season that he's having so far. I think the Indianapolis Colts have a game to get back here. They lost to the Rams in a very uncomfortable fashion, and I think they get one right. I think the Colts beat the Raiders 30-14.
Are the Colts for real? The Colts a real team?
Hey.
I don't think the Raiders are going to put up anything, you know, that the Colts haven't already faced. But I don't know if they're, you know, the real deal team that's going to make the playoffs or maybe even, you know, make a deep run. But I'm going to go with them.
Yeah.
I feel like against the Raiders, there's no other way.
Yeah.
I'm going to also go with the Colts. The Raiders have been pretty disappointing this year, especially after all their offseason acquisitions. Geno Smith has not played very well. He had 3 picks last game, I think. And I'm buying into the Daniel Jones and the Colts hype, so I'm going with the Colts.
Nice.
I'm going to go with the Colts, too. I mean, yeah, the Raiders have just been – I mean, I've never been a Raiders fan, but they've been a letdown this season. So I'm going to take the Colts, even just looking at their stats, like they have – a much higher advantage in this game. Mm-hmm. It's I don't think it's gonna be a very big game, but I think it's gonna be pretty easy for them.
Yeah, one positive I will say for the Raiders, Max Crosby's playing very, very well. I think he's in the defensive player of the year conversation. But otherwise, yeah, the Raiders don't have much going for them. All right, next game. Goodness, this is a horrible game. Giants at Saints. The only shining light in this game, I think it's the backfield of the New York Giants. I guess the defensive line as well. Jackson Dart getting his second start. He's going to travel to New Orleans to face Spencer Rattler, who's still looking for his first career victory after 10 starts. How crazy is that? He is 0-10. He has never had a win in the NFL over 2 seasons. First-year coach Kellen Moore still sticking with him despite the 0-4 start. I still think this defense is okay for the New Orleans Saints. I think this could be a little bit of a trap game for the Giants because they came off of a massive win against the Los Angeles Chargers. But I still have the Giants winning. I still think the Giants pull it out. I think it'll be a close game. I'm going to say Giants beat the Saints 24-21 because of that defensive line.
I will go against you.
All right.
I'm going to say Saints. Yep. I feel like the Giants are going to be too confident, too overconfident about the last win, thinking yep. that everything's going to be good. Got to say it. Saints aren't the great team. They don't have an offense. I feel like their offense is the lowest of the whole 32 teams.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
But their defense is okay.
Yes.
Their defense can play. And I feel like that's going to be the trouble where the Giants are going to find themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I go Saints.
All right.
This Saints team is bad. But they're favored by 2.5 points to win, which is kind of surprising to me.
It's definitely the home.
I think I'm going to go with the Saints. I think Jackson Dart's going to come back down to earth a little bit. And Spencer Rattler will get his first win in the NFL.
Interesting. Okay.
I think we should take a moment of silence for the 0-4 that the Saints have. Like, that is just insane to me. It feels wrong not taking the Giants, but I'm just going to take them. I don't think it's going to be a very big game at all. But yeah, this is rough.
Yes, rough game indeed. All right, we're split on this one for the first time. All right, next one. You talk about 0-4 and taking a moment of silence. Let's take a moment of silence for these Jets, man. This team is they're playing okay, but they just got a loss to the Dolphins. Cowboys traveling to New York. Dak has had a hot start for the Dallas Cowboys. This offense is actually playing really, really well, even without CeeDee Lamb. Javonte Williams has reinvigorated his career. And even with the loss of Micah Parsons, this team is still trying to be competitive in a lot of games. Jets still searching for a breakthrough. Aaron Glenn, he's been the best thing for this team because Aaron Glenn has been dancing along the sideline as they blocked a field goal to try and take the lead. Ultimately, still lost to the Bucs. Even with CeeDee Lamb and Miles Sanders possibly out, I think this Cowboys offense is still good enough, but I still think the Jets at home, they get a little bit. I don't know if this is an upset technically due to the books, but I got the Jets beating the Cowboys to get their first win of the season, 31-27.
I don't really see a way that the Jets could beat the Cowboys. I mean, the Cowboys have been playing good.
The Cowboys defense is terrible, I will say.
That is the lowest point. However, it just feels like they need to just buckle down and I mean, it's not like the Jets have anything on offense that could scare them out, really. I feel like the Cowboys will take this game. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'm picking the Cowboys for this one, too. I feel like this game is going to be just dumb. I feel like the Cowboys and the... It's going to be a shootout for some reason, but, like, the Cowboys are going to win, like, 50-30 or something like that. Like, it won't be really that close.
Chloe?
The Jets is not going to be a hard team for the Cowboys to play at all. This... I'm going to have to, like, side with Jorge here and Sergio. I just think game is going to be a little too easy for the Cowboys. So I'm taking them.
Yeah, smart pick. All right, Broncos at Eagles. Eagles, you know, they're still winning games. They're the one of the only two undefeated teams left in the NFL. But their stars are struggling. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Saquon Barkley have a lot to say, but... They still winning games. All have seen a major drop in productions. Jalen Hurts hasn't thrown a touchdown in two straight games, and now we got this Broncos defense coming into town who just shut down the Cincinnati Bengals. Not that that's a tough thing. I think all four of us could shut down the Cincinnati Bengals at this point of the season. I just want to talk about Jonathan Cooper and Nick Benito for the Denver Broncos. Those two guys have been absolute studs. J.K. Dobbins is playing really, really well. I got the Broncos giving the Eagles their first L of the season in a mini upset. I got the Broncos winning
23-21. Are they at Mile High?
No. They are at Lincoln Financial Field.
I feel like that's gonna help them. Help the Eagles out a little bit, being in their own turf. And I'm gonna take the Eagles.
Okay.
I think it's gonna be a close game though. It's definitely gonna be a close game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also have the Eagles, but I do think it's going to be super, super close. I think the Eagles are going to win on a last-second field goal. I feel like it's just that type of game that's going to go down in that way.
Yeah.
But I think the Eagles are going to stay undefeated.
I think Denver's offense is doing pretty good, so I have some hope in them. So I'm going to take Denver in this one and hope that the Eagles finally get their first loss of the season.
All right, we got a couple more games to go. I'll just go through these games that are not really interesting to me really quickly. The Texans going to the Ravens. No Lamar Jackson for Baltimore. That was said earlier this morning. I think with the Texans running game kind of getting back to form with Woody Marks against Tennessee and the Baltimore Ravens not being able to stop a sneeze on the ground game, I think they will win this game. I got the Texans winning 24-17 because of no Lamar Jackson.
Two teams that made the playoffs last year that are 1-3.
1-3, both of them.
I don't know who has the worst start, the Ravens or the Texans, but definitely they both need a win. They both need a win. So I'm gonna go with Texas just because the Ravens don't have a quarterback.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm also going Houston. Baltimore has been more disappointing than Houston just based on the fact of how well they played last year, but Houston's gonna win this one.
All right.
I just want to take the Ravens just because I like them and they're like on my fantasy team. but I don't know. This is a rough one. It's just both teams have been a letdown. So I'll take Houston. I'll go with everyone. I'll take Houston.
All right. You know, Ravens, if a Super Bowl contender dropping to 1-4, that would be crazy. All right, Titans and Cardinals. Show of hands, who cares about this game? That's what I thought.
Not
all right, nobody cares about this game. Tennessee has lost 10 straight games. Their coaching staff is pretty terrible right now. But they go to Arizona trying to get a win. Arizona almost had a win last week against Seattle. I think that they'll get back to winning ways. Kyler Murray, even though they lost another running back, I think that they'll get a win in this game. I think Marvin Harrison has a big one, a big day. Cardinals win 31-16.
I don't know. I feel like the Titans might take one. It's not going to be easy, but I feel like, yeah, the Titans are just going to, you know, like a field goal or maybe a point or something.
All right.
I've got Arizona in this one. I feel like, in the words of Cam Ward, they are not great.
So, that was one of the funniest things I've seen over the last couple of years.
I respect Cam Ward for saying that. I feel like it's great to be honest as a quarterback. So, but Arizona in this one.
Give me Arizona. I'll say Arizona by 10.
Nice.
Yeah.
that's proper way to talk about it, to be honest with you. This game is not that crazy. Buccaneers at Seahawks. Baker Mayfield heading up to the Pacific Northwest. I think that this is going to be one of the best games of the week. JSN versus Emeka Egbuka, that little Ohio State wide receiver battle. I got the Buccaneers winning this game, but it will be very, very close. I got the Buccaneers winning 30-27.
Darnold is going to beat the Bucs.
Okay.
So I'm going Seahawks. I'm not a Bucs fan. I'm just going to say that.
You're not a Bucs believer.
Yeah, I'm not a Bucs believer.
Yeah.
And I am actually USC, you know, Sam Darnold's from USC. So.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm going Seahawks on that one.
I'm going Tampa Bay. I feel like Baker is just a better quarterback, and I feel like the Bucs are more well-rounded than Seattle, so I'm going Tampa.
All right.
I'm going to take the Seahawks. I feel like the Seahawks have a really strong defense this year. It's not the strongest, but they know how to really take on their opponent and defend the ball. So I'm going to take Seahawks in this one.
Yeah, speaking of that defense, I've been so impressed with their linebackers. So they still lost to the Niners. All right, next game. This is going to be a bloodbath of all bloodbaths. Lions at Bengals. The Bengals cannot score points even with Ja'Marr Chase. I know I heard a lot of people saying, oh, wouldn't the Bengals like Mac Jones? I think the Bengals would like Kyle Shanahan if we're being for real right now, because I don't think Mac Jones would be able to fix this team. I got the Lions by 50. No, I'm serious. I got the Lions by like, I'm going to say 41-10.
Yeah, poor Bengals. They had such dreams at the beginning of the season, but it just feels like they just can't get close to them. So, I'm going to go Lions on this one.
Joe Burrow needs an offensive line or he's going to end up like Andrew Luck. But give me Detroit in this one by a lot.
Yep.
I'm going to side with that one. Give me Detroit by a blowout.
All right. I think this is the best matchup of the week. You got Jaden Daniels returning for the Commanders as they travel to SoFi to play the Los Angeles Chargers. Chargers had a little bit of a hiccup with their game against the Giants. They're trying to get back right. Commanders had a little bit of a hiccup against the Falcons, even though they didn't have Jaden Daniels. Both teams would love this win to improve. I think both of them are 3-1, if I'm not mistaken. I might be wrong there. No. Commanders are 2-2. Chargers are 3-1. I got the Chargers winning this game. I still believe in that defense. I think Justin Herbert will have a great game. If anything, we saw this Falcons team score 0 points against the Panthers and then score 34 against this Commanders defense. I think the Chargers get a lot of points. I'm going to say the Chargers win this one 35-24.
Sorry. I was writing something down.
No, all good.
I'm gonna go Chargers. They just have the better team. It's all overall. Mm-hmm. They're better. Better coach. Pretty much everything. So Chargers.
My gut's telling me to go with Washington. I think Jaden Daniels will rejuvenate the offense a little bit. Yeah. And it's gonna be a close game. It'll be a fun game to watch. I'm excited for it. But I've got Washington.
All right.
Give me Washington in this one. I feel like Jaden Daniels, like, he's just such a key component in, like, the energy that this team brings. And I'm excited to see it. I think it's going to be an exciting game. I think it's going to be a closer one for sure. But give me Washington in this.
Yeah, been a minute since we've seen Jaden. So I am very excited to see that. Sunday night football. You got Phil's Patriots going to Buffalo to face the 4-0 Buffalo Bills. I will say, even though Buffalo is one of the two undefeated teams, I have not necessarily been impressed with Buffalo in a lot of their games. Obviously, the week one win against Baltimore was huge, but I have not been that impressed, especially in that Dolphins game. I still think they win this game, but I think that a loss is coming in there somewhere down the line. I just don't think it's going to be this one at home against the Patriots. So I'm going to say Bills win this one 28-10.
Yeah, I'm going Bills on this one. I feel like they're just better right now. I do think that the Pats are going to put up a fight.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be that issue for the Bills.
Drake May's been playing great.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's going to be close, but definitely the Bills ultimately win this game.
Okay.
If I was not a 49ers fan, I would be all over the Bills right now. Yeah. I love the Bills. I think that they're going to win by a lot. Sorry, Phil. But Drake May's been playing great, like you guys said. But I think the Bills are just going to be too much for this Pats team.
Give me the Bills. The Bills are really looking like a strong team this season. I mean, 4-0. Like, I'm going to take the Bills in this one. They're going to stay undefeated.
Nice. James Cook, I think, has had a very, very good season. So that's great. Him missing a lot of the offseason, getting that contract. And last game of the week, it's Chiefs at Jaguars. A very interesting Monday Night Football game. I think the Jags see this as an opportunity to get a massive win against a big team in the AFC. They just came off of beating San Francisco 49ers. I think Trevor Lawrence, and even though Trevor Lawrence I don't think has been elite per se, I think Travis Etienne and Liam Coleman have put him in positions, and that defense is playing lights out right now. Patrick Mahomes, it looks like he's found a little bit of a rhythm again. I don't know where this is going to go, because I could see this going both ways, but I'm going to go on the side of an upset. I'm going to take the home team. It's a Monday night game. I'm going to say the Jaguars beat the Chiefs 27-20, and I think the Jags continue their streak of getting a turnover in each game. I think they get two in this one.
Wow, even the streak continues, huh?
Yep.
I feel like the Chiefs might have turned around their season last week.
Yeah.
I believe that they're going to beat the Jags. I mean, it's going to be difficult because the Jags defense is, you know, one of the best in the NFL. But I feel like if everybody has it, it's going to be them. Yeah, the Chiefs.
I've got Kansas City in this one. The Jags have been playing great. They did beat San Francisco. They've looked great on, you know, in the run game, on defense. But I think Kansas City's starting to figure it out, especially. And with Xavier Worthy coming back, I think that's huge. It played huge dividends in their offense last week. So I've got the Chiefs in this one.
I'm going to take the Jags in this one. The Jags have been looking stronger than I was expecting this season. And I feel like the Chiefs just, they aren't showing the team that, like, we just saw in February. So I'm gonna take the Jags in this one.
All right, and that was the Benatti Blitz minus the Benatti on
the 10 beer blitz.
We gotta call it something else. All right, When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number one by quickly talking about the MLB playoffs. You're listening to Behind the Bench here on ESPN Radio 1430 Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. And welcome back to Behind the Bench here on ESPN Radio 1430 Fresno. We got the MLB playoffs that just wrapped up their wild card round. So let's close the hour by just going over a little bit of what the MLB had in store for us yesterday. The Tigers, they beat the Guardians 6-3. Wenzel Perez had a big hit, his biggest hit of the season, a clutch two-run single in the seventh, and that kind of opened the game up, lifted the Tigers to a 6-3 win after dropping their first game against the Guardians. Then Dylan Dingler had that go-ahead home run in the sixth to set the stage. I thought, you know, the Tigers losing the division lead and coming back, I think they necessarily, all they needed was just a reset. As long as they just got back, I think they would be fine, and that's exactly what happened in this series. Tigers win in three. The Cubs beat the Padres. Pete Carl Armstrong had a big redemption game in this one. He went hitless in the first two games, and then he exploded with three hits and a run-saving sliding catch, which was phenomenal. And the final out in Wrigley was a 3-1. I thought Dansby Swanson looked really, really good in this series. Say Suzuki, I thought, looked pretty good after his, he had a cold back half, and then he really started to heat up towards the end of the season, and he really showed it in that first game. There was that controversial strike call with the Padres in a critical spot. It drew a lot of frustration. It was really the pitch itself was really, really low, and they called it a strike. It kind of reminds how the umpiring can go in October and how it can have a massive impact.
I just want to say, yeah, I saw that live.
Yeah,
that was no way a strike. There's no way. I don't understand why he called it like that, and it was such a crucial just mistake that was made. He was calling him low the whole entire game.
Yeah.
Right. So, but they were like borderline always, like, you know.
Yeah.
This one was not borderline.
Yeah. No, I looked at the StatCast like image of it, and it's like significantly lower than the box. That was a big play, but the Cubs pull it out in their first home series since like 2017. So good on them. And then Yankees, they pulled it off against the Red Sox. They won 4-0. Cam Schlittler, I mean, he was dealing yesterday. 12 strikeouts, 8 scoreless innings, the most ever for a Yankees rookie. And to go into that scenario and pull off the performance that he did, I was surprised that the Red Sox didn't capitalize on that. But those defensive miscues that Boston had, I know they had like a pop out into about, I would say, right center field, and that was dropped. You know, all these really came to haunt the Red Sox, and we feel for you, Phil, after losing a series to the Red Sox. And so now we go into the NLDS and the ALDS. Four very, very high-stakes matchups, as it always is in October. The Dodgers, who swept the Reds, they go to Philadelphia to face the Phillies. This is going to be their sixth postseason meeting between the two franchises. The Phillies have won the last three, but we have a whole new lineup for both of these teams. Shohei Ohtani and Freddie Freeman versus Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber. I think this is going to be a very, very fun series. Probably the most entertaining series out of the four that I see, just of the offensive firepower that's on both of these sides. I think the starting rotations for both these sides are pretty good. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Blake Snell for the Dodgers, and then you got Christopher Sanchez on the other side for the Phillies. Obviously, they lost, I'm pretty sure they lost Zach Wheeler, right? Yeah, they did. And I think this is deep and star-studded of a matchup that we're going to see this year. Tigers are going to play the Mariners. Seattle took the season series 4-2, including a dominant sweep in Detroit right before the All-Star break, where they outscored the Tigers 35-14. This is the first ever postseason matchup between the Mariners and the Tigers, and I think the player to watch in this series is obviously Cal Raleigh, fresh off, you know, that historic 60 homer season, 125 RBIs, and an AL home run derby crown. Raleigh, to me, is the Mariners' heartbeat, and this team is going to go as far as he does, and his October performance could finally propel Seattle to their first ALCS since 2001. Cubs and Brewers, you know, this is a longtime rivalry because they are division opponents, but this is the first time that they will actually meet in a playoff series. I think that the Cubs' power versus the Brewers' pitching is really where this matchup is going to shine, and we'll see which one comes out on top. And then Blue Jays, Yankees. I think this is going to be entertaining as well, both from the NL East. Both teams finished 94 and 68. This is their first ever meeting in the playoffs. I think this is a very even matchup, but the player to watch for me is George Springer. So I just wanted to go around the room real quickly as we head into the end of our number one. Which team that had a bye in the first round? So Phillies, Brewers, Blue Jays, and the Phillies, Brewers, Blue Jays, and Mariners. Which one do you think is going to have the upset? Who's on upset alert?
On par for an upset, but right now I'm feeling like the Brewers are more so. The Cubs played solidly in the wild card series. The Brewers didn't play great the last few weeks of the season, so I feel like the Brewers are a team to watch for and up on the upset.
All right, so that's our MLB roundup. After the break, that was our number one. Our number two on the way. Don't go anywhere. This is Behind the Bench on ESPN Radio 1430 Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
And welcome back to Behind the Bench here on ESPN Radio 1430 Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Rolling along into our number two, a little bit of a seat arrangement change as now I'm in Jorge's spot trying to do everything, which is great, right? We got Paul Metters in here today for Friday Night Lights, high school football. Happening today. Track play started yesterday. Track play starting today. Clovis West versus Clovis East. How excited are you for the game tonight?
Very excited. I'm going to talk about the game. I'm going to preview the game. I'm on with Coach Pat Hill. Super pumped, doing play-by-play. I got to say this, though, Tanvir. Stepping in Phil Bonatti's spot in the captain's chair right now. I know behind the bench, but you are killing it.
I've caught you a
couple times, right? Driving to the station today and yesterday while on the road. You know your stuff, man. You're breaking down NFL. How good Mac Jones was defense. You're naming guys that I didn't even know were on rosters. Like that's how impressive you've been to me. And another thing too, you're sporting the Niners hat.
Yes, we are.
Do have to ask you though. Would you if they would have lost, you still would have wore the hat, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And how I know you're a true fan, too, when you're talking about the game last night, you kept saying we. So you are, right,
yes.
You're Puerto Vita, right, for life.
There's a part of me where I'm thinking to myself, maybe I shouldn't say we because this is a radio show. But I feel like I have to say that because I am coming from a perspective of a fan. And breaking that down in that way, I think it's perfect. But I appreciate you for the words you said. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, so Clovis West versus Clovis East. Looking at this matchup, I'm looking immediately at these quarterbacks. Yeah, Spurgeon on one side, J.J. Howard on the other. Like, how big of a game is it for those two guys especially?
Well, I did a little kind of a fun research project on Spurgeon. So, again, thanks to those that input the stats on Max Preps. It helps guys like me out a lot. So Spurgeon is obviously, the main focus of the offense. Has 939 passing yards, 65% completion percentage, only a 7-6 TD to interception ratio. So that doesn't really pop, but the rushing yards pop 462 rushing yards. 59% of the team's rushing yards is from their quarterback. So he is a huge part of that offense for Clovis East. This is his first year starting. He's a junior. He's kind of waiting in the wings. Ty Miller, a four-year starter. You don't hear that too often for Clovis East last year. Made a, did not miss a game, talking about Ty Miller in his four-year career at Clovis East. But Spurgeon stepped in. He's done a really good job. He's a big kid, 6'4", 205 pounds.
Yeah.
This is going to be my first look with my own eyeballs at him tonight. He doesn't shy away from contact either, right? So if you're a Clovis East fan or the coaches, you're like, maybe you would not want to, don't want to take that big hit. He likes taking on linebackers. He doesn't care. So he is a big part of that offense. On the flip side, you mentioned J.J. Howard for Clovis West. Saw him early in the year. He's got a bunch of D1 offers. Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, BYU, Fresno State, of course, and Oregon. Oregon offered this kid already, only a sophomore. His numbers aren't like super, super impressive either, but he's winning football games. After that opening season loss at Edison of Huntington Beach, he's won four games in a row. That really good game that he had at Liberty of Bakersfield really opened up a lot of eyes, especially people down there in Bakersfield are like, man, we got to deal with this guy for two more plus years. So he's a talented quarterback. He has thrown 14 touchdowns on the season. So, yeah, marquee guys, right, in a marquee game tonight.
You know, another big talking point that I've heard over these last couple of weeks is this Clovis East defense and this front seven. And you have now a quarterback coming in that's younger, but he has the athleticism. When you look at this matchup between the front seven of Clovis East and you look at the matchup against quarterback J.J. Howard, where do you think that both parties can kind of take advantage of each other? Is there an advantage on one side over the other?
Yeah, I think Clovis East, you mentioned the front seven, very impressive. Clovis West, their offensive line has to protect their guy, right? They got to keep J.J. Howard clean. He's got a lot of escapability to him as well, throws really well off the run, but the offensive line for West is going to be taking on a really talented Clovis East. Their linebacking corps flies after the football side to side. They're really good. I think, right, you usually hear football teams, they like to establish the run, open up the passing game. I think Clovis West is going to think the opposite. They're going to come out throwing the football, and then hopefully that will open up the ground game a little bit more.
A little bit West Coast, right? Like sure. you have the short passing game always lead in to that running game. So, yeah, I'm very excited. It's crazy because I'm a Clovis East graduate, but right. This is the one team that I have not seen this year. I've seen every other track school. I've seen Central, Clovis High, all of them, and I have not seen Clovis East. So this will be also my first time looking at Clovis East this season. So really excited about that. Let's go to yesterday's game. It was a little bit rainy yesterday. I was about to go, but I had that 49ers itch with that overtime game with me, so I had to stay at home. But Clovis North putting a stamp on Central East putting a stamp on Clovis North. Talk a little bit about how that game went in your eyes.
Well, the weather, and it didn't rain south of Fresno very much, right? Kingsburg didn't get any rain, so driving up here, the rain started on 99. I'm like, man, this could get a little ugly. I got there, I don't know, around 6:40 or so. Kickoff was at 7:00. And I tell you what, I was a little disappointed. There were only like 300 people there at that time. I'm like, the rain didn't scare everybody away, did it? But it filled up as the time went by. But yeah, a lot of people are like, well, can Clovis North, right, keep up with Central East? A couple injury questions for Central East. Brandon Smith, I know, was a little banged up in that Liberty game a couple weeks ago. But yeah, talking to Coach Kyle Biggs, after that Liberty win, man, you would have thought that they had lost, right? Because he was a little grumpy, to put it mildly. He wasn't real happy with their performance. They had a great week of practice, and my gosh, they actually came out firing on all cylinders. And Clovis North had no answer for them. There was a fumble in Clovis North territory that led to the fourth touchdown of the game, but that was a dominating performance from Central East. Jelani Dipple had three touchdown passes. Brandon Smith had 139 yards on the ground, two touchdowns. So I think I even got some text from some other coaches around the Central section are like, my gosh, that score surprised me. But if you were there at the game, right, it was a beatdown, let's be honest.
And Clovis North, you know, we've talked about that. To me, it was a run-heavy offense. You saw that in that Frontier game. You know, I'm looking at it right here. One guy that I was very impressed with when I saw Clovis North was J.R. Cruz, and he only had 9 carries for 13 yards. Like, that is impressive to stop that guy. I don't know if there was an injury or something, or maybe they didn't feel like they can go to him. Did you see anything in that perspective?
No, I mean, the 9 carries for the 13 yards, I think that was just a byproduct of Central East being up early, right? So they had to throw the ball.
Right.
They were trying some different things. But, yeah, the Central East defense, they did a good job. We talked a lot about the Clovis North offensive line and how they looked impressive. But, that was one of the question marks about the Bengals was their defense. You know, if you look at the scores, they gave up 33 to Liberty. They gave up, 44 to Grant. But they came to play. They came to play last night, and it showed. Yeah, they shut down the running game. And, you know, right, when you get down early, you're going to, you know, try a couple different things, but nothing was working for Clovis North.
Yeah, for sure. And then on the Central perspective, I think that I've already listed, to me, Jelani Dipple and then Brandon Smith and Bayon Harris, I think that trio is probably the best quarterback, running back, wide receiver trio in track. Would you agree with that? Like,
yes.
That is the best, I think, by far, and it showed in this game. And I know you were telling about the stats. Brandon Smith had 19 for 138. He's continuing to average 7 yards a carry. Before this game, he was at 9, but, you know, to still be at 7 for this game is crazy. Bayon had 4 for 57, 2 touchdowns. Just talk to me about how good those 3 guys are together.
And I would add, number one, E.J. Morgan,
yes,
who
EJ
looked
Morgan
really
as well.
Good as well. I think when you got bookend wide receivers,
yes,
a stud running back, and an excellent quarterback,
yes,
right? What more do you – I mean, offensive line, obviously, but offensively, right, they're going to be tough to stop in the track. I got to mention both of Bayon Harris's touchdowns. Gosh, and it's high school football, right? We're not able to see replays unless somebody was there to film it and go back and watch it, but you're not able to see replays right away. Both of those catches were highlight reel, back of the end zone, come down with 1 foot catch. Another one, he just mossed a Clovis North defender. I mean, that guy's an absolute dude. You got him at, 6'3", 6'4". He can go up and catch it. E.J. Morgan's the more speed guy. Put him in a slot, put him on some skinny posts. He's dangerous, so... Yeah, I think a lot of people are like, uh-oh, like the call for Central East demise has been muchly too too right. aggressive, right, in
right.
talking about that. But, yeah, they look really strong.
Yeah, I look at this game and just think this was a Clovis North team that was 5-0 coming in, the only true undefeated track team coming in. And for Central to win this game in the fashion that they did, they were already up, it says 42-6 at halftime.
Yeah. So, it was a running clock in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, so that is a highly impressive. I think that for sure should put them in the best team in track category after a win like that. All right, let's move on to the game you guys are not – or we're not going to – Clovis High versus Buchanan, another track matchup. Clovis High coming into this game 4-1. You know, for me, let's start with Clovis High. I still think their D-line is really, really good. I think they have a lethal pass rush. They still have multiple guys that can rush the passer. And I think if they're humming, I find it difficult for any of these teams to find a passing game against them. Tommy Devaney, the Buchanan quarterback, he's a sophomore.
Yeah, yes.
And so that makes him, along with JJ, the youngest quarterback. And I think that's the matchup that I'm really looking at, because if this Clovis D-line can really get to the quarterback and that Buchanan offensive line is not playing as well, I think this could be a very tough matchup for the Bears.
Yeah, let's be honest, right? Buchanan's strength is their defense, the offensive. You know, we could also look at strength of schedule. The Buchanan Bears' strength of schedule compared to Clovis isn't as strong. But, you know, Buchanan, their defense is formidable. They got some guys. On the flip side, though, Deegan Rose hasn't thrown an interception all year.
Yes.
Oregon State commit. He's as good as it gets in the Central section, one of the top players in the state as well. So, yeah, I think Buchanan needs to play really good defense, have some sustained drives to keep the ball out of Clovis High's hands. One thing of note, and this was announced on social media, got to be careful with high school kids, right? You don't want to say anything injury-wise that might not be correct, but Maddox Merrill is out for the season, had surgery on his foot. So it's very unfortunate for Clovis High. Along with Deegan Rose, he was a 4-year starter for them, really good running back. So that hurts, but we saw Caruso, right, for Clovis High. Did a really good job filling in for Maddox at the running back position. Really good linebacker as well. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of things there to like for Clovis High. I would think Buchanan, you know, they need something special to happen, special teams play or a pick six or a defensive touchdown, you know, in this game. But Clovis High has a lot of horses still.
Yeah, I was just going to bring up James Caruso. He's got, you know, 60 carries on the year, 426 rush yards in interim. But as you said, still playing great at linebacker. He's the leading tackler on this team with 56 total tackles. Yeah, that guy is playing really, really well. What I like about Clovis High is I wouldn't say necessarily they have the one guy at receiver. Like, they have multiple guys that they can spread the ball out to with Deegan Rose. And I think them winning this game, I think it's obviously going to be with Deegan Rose passing the ball around the middle of the field. The game that I watched them play against Salinas, they were really, really good at that. And if those linebackers of Buchanan are not playing very good in coverage, I think this could be a mismatch. But that Buchanan defense versus that Clovis High offense, I think, is definitely going to be something to see, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and one thing of note, so Carlos Young, he's an impact player for Clovis High on the defensive end, does a great job. Sorry, a defensive back. He's a wide receiver, deep threat as well. Israel Briggs, a little bit of a mystery, right? We don't know if he's going to play or not. He's just kind of a week-to-week thing, in my opinion. So, hey, if he's playing tonight, that's another big weapon for the Cougars.
Yeah, and then Buchanan's side of things, I think it's they have a lot of good defensive players. You know, Russell Devaney is in there. Ethan Brock has been playing really well. Donovan Dunmore in the secondary. I think all of these guys, if they are to have a chance in this game, it's going to be through that defense. Do you think that the secondary will be more tested in this game, or do you think that this run defense is going to have to be?
Well, it could be the case with Clovis West, as we were talking about, right? Start with the passing game against that Clovis East defense, hopefully set up the running game. That might be the thing, right? Like, Dunmore is a really good defensive back headed to Oregon State. So, yeah, I think Clovis is going to come out firing, throwing the football, and then maybe set up the running game.
All right. Just to look at a couple of the other games that are going on in the Central section. You know, Lemoore beat Tulare Union yesterday. Or excuse me, Tulare Union beat Lemoore yesterday.
42-7?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it was a pretty impressive win. Sanger is playing Bullard today. Today. And then Kennedy's playing Delano at Delano, 5-0. You know, Kennedy's 4-1. Right. That's going to be a very interesting game because I think, you know, Kennedy, that's a good test for them.
No, absolutely. And you talked about Buchanan. Buchanan beat Kennedy in week two. You know, it's going to be a smash mouth football game, right? Those two schools don't like each other. They're the same vicinity also. So, I expect a lot of ground and pound type plays in that game.
All right. So just to cap off this segment, I want to thank you for coming on today with me. I wanted to do a little bit of a stock up, stock down, but overall, let's just do the entire world of sports. You know, usually we see you do that with the high school football teams. I wanted to, because you're a Dodgers fan, let's start with Blake Snell. Do you think by the end of this season, we'll be looking more positively about Blake Snell or more negatively?
He's trending up, man. Look at that guy, right? He's shoved in game one. He does his typical, taking a month and a half off, 2 months. It seems like Blake Snell does that. But
right.
I think the Dodgers with their pitching staff, right, did it right. You look at Roki Sasaki as well, right? Just bring him along slowly. And now they're primed for the postseason right now. So I think Blake Snell definitely stock up. He's a true number one guy right now. He wants the ball. He's a gamer. He's a little bit of a different type of a cat, too. So, yeah, definitely up with Blake. Ask me, like, if you would have asked me, like, 6 weeks ago, I would have said, man, that guy's garbage. No way. I don't even know if he's coming back. So, yeah, he's definitely stock up.
Yeah, I think that first game against the Reds really gave me some confidence in him. So, I am also a stock up. This is a little bit of an interesting one. Other side of the bracket. This guy has been elite in the regular season, but it's in the playoffs. I don't know where he goes. Aaron Judge, you know, Fresno State guy. He's looking. He has to come up big in this Blue Jays series. Do you think it's a stock up or a stock down for Aaron?
Well, you know, only Aaron Judge could get me to root for the Yankees a little bit, right? When he comes up to bat, unless he's against the Dodgers like last year in the World Series. But I think everybody is rooting for Aaron Judge,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Right? Unless you're a hardcore Yankee hater. I want to see him absolutely go off, you know, in the big moments. You know, that what, 331 batting average, led the major leagues this year. His approach is a little bit different. He could drive the ball to all fields. So you got to say stock up with Aaron Judge, right? He's cut down on the strikeouts a little bit. I hope he has a great rest of the playoffs.
Agreed. I think that this Blue Jay series, he's going to have to be big, and I think he will come through. All right, last one. We're going to go to a guy that played last night, and he had a lot of ups. He had a lot of downs. Let's go Kyren Williams, running back for the Los Angeles Rams. A lot of Rams fans don't like him right now. I think he's had the most fumbles in the league since 2023. But you can clearly see the talent that he has, you know? So I guess I'll start. I think it's tough for me to look at what Kyren has done this year and just go stock down on him after just one performance. But as we progress into the year for tougher matchups, I think it's going to be a little bit more difficult for him. I think next year he'll bounce back, but I'm going to go stock down because I think a performance like that can really affect him.
Right, the fumbles, right? The inside the 5 yard line, especially. Is that where was the play at when they tried to run it?
Yeah, so it was at the 6.
It was at the 6.
Alfred Collins. I mean, we were talking about it. When he punched it, I thought he genuinely knocked out the guy.
I heard Jorge say that, and I actually didn't see the replay on my phone while I was watching the game, while watching Clovis East. Or Central East and Clovis North last night. But yeah, I heard about it and I heard you guys describe it. I have to go back and watch that because it sounds pretty crazy. But right, those moments are big for the coaching staff as far as the trust factor, right?
Agreed.
You know, when you get down to that, like, man, we're trusting this guy with the ball game on the line. Can we give him the football, especially, you know, running up the middle? Maybe, you know, have him scoot outside or something like that. But yeah, I think for the trust factor, we've seen that a lot, right? With fringe type running backs when they, you know, there's not a lot of money. Let's be honest, right? Not a lot of money involved in the investment with him, right? I mean, what are you going to do on those types of plays if you can't trust him with the football?
For sure, for sure. Well, Paul, thank you for coming in today. I appreciate it. I will see you at the Clovis East versus Clovis West game. I'll be there. And other than that, thanks for tuning in.
Absolutely. I am excited. Me and Pat Hill doing play-by-play. And the number one thing that I want to portray while on the broadcast, just don't sound stupid, right? Don't say, oh, the ball's on the 53-yard line. All right, Coach Hill, right? You don't want Pat to smack me in the shoulder or anything. So that's my number one goal tonight. Don't say anything stupid, right?
Don't say anything stupid. That's definitely what I've been putting into my mind when I've been doing this show for the
last
2 days.
You're doing great.
Thank you. All right.
Absolutely.
All right, when we come back, we're going to continue. We got Fresno State playing Nevada this weekend. We'll be back with a preview of that game. You're listening to it live on ESPN Radio 1430 Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back into Behind the Bench here on ESPN Radio 1430, the Valley's local sports leader. I am Tanvir Singh, and we're still rolling along here in hour number two as we had a good talk with Paul Metters right there, and I'm trying to do both things at the same time. Anyways, we got a game to preview with Fresno State as they play Nevada in the Mountain West Showdown. Tomorrow, Fresno State, it's going to be a home game for them. Nevada coming into this game 1-3, while the Fresno State Bulldogs coming into this game at 4-1. You know, in recent form, the Bulldogs are coming off of a narrow win against Hawaii, 23-21. EJ Warner, I thought, was really efficient in that game. He had 230 yards, 75% completion percentage. He kind of really showed poise in a game where we needed him to show poise. The running back trio of Donaldson, Luke, and Elijah Gilliam, I think they continue to give Fresno State that versatility on the ground game. And I think defensively, Fresno State has been solid. They're holding opponents to just 20 points a game, and that's been really good. It's simple. You score more points than the defense, you're gonna have a good outcome. Nevada, on the other hand, the Wolfpack, It fell to 31-16 to Western Kentucky in their last outing. Quarterback Chubba Purdy has been a dual threat weapon. I will say, Chubba Purdy is related to Brock, right?
Yeah, I think they're brothers. I think Chubb is his younger brother.
Yes. So I will not be rooting for this Purdy. I will be rooting for the other Purdy, though, as he hopefully comes back. But regardless, Chubb Purdy, you know, he's been a dual threat weapon, 276 rush yards, two TDs. The turnovers have been a massive issue for him. He's got six INTs on the season versus just one passing TD. And that's definitely not something, you know, I know they had a tough game against Penn State early on in the year. But the turnovers have really been a massive issue, and they're scoring 15 points per game. I think they're 132nd out of 136 teams in terms of scoring offense, in terms of total scoring offense, not on average. And so this is a game where Fresno State is looking at it on paper, and we're seeing this is a game that they should win easily, right? You guys follow with me?
Yeah, it's a game they should win. They're favored by 13.5 points, Fresno State. They're coming out of the bye, hoping that they feel good about where they're at coming off of those wins against, or that big win against Hawaii in Hawaii. So, you know, hopefully they're feeling good coming into this one.
I think, Fresno State's looking good. They're looking strong this year. Again, favored, I saw that, by 13.5 points. They're really utilizing their run game, but I feel like overall, Fresno State's offense is looking really, really good. So I'm excited to see how they kind of take on Nevada's offense because they also have a really notable run and offense game. But they look like they know what they're doing, which is amazing with how they're like the new coaching and everything. So I'm excited for this game.
Yeah, I'm excited for this game too. I think that we have a situation where the Fresno State Bulldogs have had a really strong start to the year. And now with the Mountain West looking how it is, like I'm looking at these standings, Boise State, Utah State's 3-2, Hawaii's 4-2. Fresno State obviously has a 1-0 record in conference. I think stacking these wins is definitely necessary. And you never know if they keep on winning, we get to the end of the year and they still only have that one loss to Kansas. You're still looking at a team that is 11-1 or something with a conference championship. Who knows? Maybe college football playoff with that group of five, look is still in the cards for this team. But obviously that's me just looking too far ahead. If we go back to what this team has done against Nevada over these last four meetings, Fresno State has dominated the rivalry. They've won the last four games against Nevada. Nevada. I don't know how you guys pronounce it. Is it Nevada? I feel like
I say Nevada.
Nevada? All right. I feel like I'm butchering that. Every time I say it, there's like something that goes off in my mind. I'm like, I feel like the people out there are just like, why is he saying it like that?
Hey, don't feel bad at all. I mean, did you hear what 2 weeks ago when Phil sat here for the full 2 hours and made fun of the way I said Cardinals? So don't worry about it. I say it both ways, Nevada and Nevada.
Yeah, well, regardless, they've been losing to us, to Fresno State over these last four meetings. Over the last four games, the Bulldogs have outscored Nevada 126-76, and the totals have gone over in terms of the betting odds twice over these last four games. And let's look at some key matchups for Fresno State as they play Nevada. I got three on tap for me. I think Fresno State's defense versus Nevada's turnovers, I think, are a big matchup to watch. Nevada has given the ball away 10 times in the last four games, with Fresno State forcing seven turnovers. Linebacker Jaden Pearson, he has 42 tackles on the game, on the season, I should say. Finn Claypool has 2.5 sacks. And that leads the team, I believe. And they are going to lead a unit that thrives on pressure. So if Purdy continues to struggle with the interceptions, Fresno could bury Nevada early. Do you guys concur? Which of those two players do you think are bigger for this game, Jaden Pearson or Finn Claypool?
I feel like Jaden Pearson more so. I'm kind of leaning towards.
I'm going to say the same.
Yeah, and I agree with you guys because I think this, as you said, Chloe, this running game is really stout for Nevada. And I think the linebackers, that second level getting into the backfield is going to be necessary. And you guys, you got a guy like Jaden Pearson who leads the team in tackles with 42. I think he's going to have a big game for Fresno State to just continue. I think also Bulldogs balancing their backfield against this Nevada rush defense is very necessary. Bryson Donaldson on the year has 326 yards and three touchdowns. Rayshon Luke, on the other hand, has 258 total yards and six touchdowns, and they're proving to be a really, really effective duo against Nevada's defense, which has allowed 27 points per game, and they are not that good in terms of their rush defense effectiveness in terms of EPA per play. I think this could be a Fresno running back committee that can control the tempo. You know, last game, it wasn't necessarily the calling card for this team. Do you think this Fresno State running attack gets back on track and has a massive game? Because I certainly think they can.
Yeah, I think so. I think the run game is always Fresno State's bread and butter. You know, we saw with Ronnie Rivers coming in, and then I forget who it was last year. But he was really good too. You know, when you have those running backs that are like interchangeable, especially with this team. Now, I love a good running back duo, similar to like the Lions have going on right now. Like when you have that 1-2 punch, it really makes a difference. And even though EJ Warner's been good, I'd love to see the run game get some more love in this one.
I agree. I feel like Fresno State has a notably strong running game. They always have. But I do want to touch on EJ Warner and the fact that they do utilize like every aspect of their team, because there are, I have been to some games and I'm so sorry, but like Cal Poly strictly runs the ball. That ball never gets in the air. And Fresno State, like this, I do believe like this game, they're running, we'll see it improve compared to maybe earlier in the season. But I feel like just, again, I just want to highlight the offense in general.
Yeah, and I think this is certainly the game to get them back on track. And then my final matchup that I'm really looking for in this game, Nevada's defensive front versus EJ Warner's protection. Nevada has a defensive lineman, Dylan LaBarbera, 3.5 sacks. He's really a disruptor that can force Warner into some mistakes. Obviously, we've seen Warner throw 5 interceptions this year. And if he's pressured, he may show some vulnerability. But I truly believe that he has made some great steps in these last couple of games to improve on not turning the ball over regularly. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm glad to see EJ clean up those interceptions these last couple of games. I feel like that was a pretty big issue for him. And, you know, going, the first 2 or 3 games without throwing a single touchdown pass, that's not something great, especially from a transfer quarterback, a quarterback with a ton of starting experience. So the fact that he was able to, you know, clean it up and, you know, go turnoverless, I believe, in these last 2 games is huge. So we hope to see that, and hopefully his protection can, you know, give him some time to keep making those good decisions.
Yeah, once he started getting a feel for the team and like the protection and everything, and you kind of just saw after those first few games the team all fall into place is how I can describe it. So as long as we keep that, and I feel like they really do look like they're growing in strength. So that's just going to be notable when you're coming up against a team like this, for sure, who has I'd say a decent defense.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, LaBarbera, the guy I was just talking about, he also has 5 TFLs. So I think it's just on this offensive line that has been injury riddled over these last couple of weeks to try and get this guy and just snuff him out. I think the bye week has really, really helped this team, and maybe they can get all of this health back. I think Fresno State should control this game early with their ground attack. It's going to be led by Donaldson and Luke, who's already been steady this year. I think Nevada's defense has struggled to stop the run, and that plays right into the Bulldogs' strength. And on the other side, I think Fresno State's defense will make life tough on Chuba Purdy. I haven't seen much out of him to truly make change in my thought process of what this game is going to be. I think Purdy's legs are a weapon, but Fresno, I think, has the speed and discipline to contain him and force mistakes. And if the Bulldogs can create short fields with some of these turnovers, and they can get this, I think this game can get out of hand quickly. And you were talking about, we'll talk about the odds a little bit later, but I think there is a chance that Fresno State can certainly run up the score. And that's why I personally see Fresno State pulling away comfortably and winning this game. Do you guys have the same opinion? Do you guys think Fresno State wins this game?
Yeah, I definitely think Fresno State can run away with this one. Nevada's only win came from a Sac State team. That's not great. They only won by 3. And Cal Poly just beat Sac State last week. So I wouldn't say that's a great win for Nevada. A win is a win in football, but... You know, just considering all those factors and the fact that Purdy has 6 picks on the year and, you know, that he's forced to rush out of the pocket so often, I think that this defense can eat really early on.
Talking about like a win is a win in football, I do want to note on what Jorge said earlier when he was talking about like the matchups that different teams face, whether it's a difficult one or not. And so I feel like, yeah, a win is a win, but they're also not facing that bad of a or that difficult of a matchup. So I definitely think Fresno easily has this. I'll give Nevada like maybe 14 points, but I feel like it's going to be a blowout by Fresno State for sure.
Yeah. All right. So, I also have Fresno State. I think that Fresno State, as I just said, I think they're going to be able to feed on this running game. And if they can get the short fields, I think, again, I think that this, can get away from them really quickly. So, that was our Fresno State versus Nevada preview. We're almost done with the show leading you up to Friday Night Lights between Clovis West and Clovis East. Don't go anywhere. We'll wrap up the show with this commercial break. You're listening to it live on ESPN Radio 1430 Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on ESPN Radio 1430 Fresno. We'll be wrapping up the show here. It's been a great 2 days hosting the show. I've had a lot of fun. You know, before Jorge came in here, I was going to say this might be the youngest that this studio has ever had a show, but Jorge had to come back in. That was something I just wanted to bring up.
I just wanted to say, like, you guys are doing a great job.
Thank you, man.
You guys killing it.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. So a little reminder of our schedule here heading into the weekend. Obviously, tonight, 6:45 pregame, 7 o'clock kickoff, 14:30 ESPN from Veterans Memorial Stadium. We will have Clovis East. The Timberwolves face Clovis West. This is going to be a really, really cool quarterback matchup. So please tune in for that as Spurgeon and Clovis East go against Howard and Clovis West. Saturday, October 4th, 10 o'clock, we have the Central Valley Sports Report with Paul Metters. That'll go from 10 to 12 on 1430 ESPN. I'll be on the show tomorrow for a little bit, but that is Paul's show from First String Sports.
You'll be producing.
Yeah, I'll be producing, and then I'll have like 20 seconds. And then 1430 ESPN, we'll have both NLDS games. So at 12:30, it'll be Yankees versus Blue Jays on 1430. And then at 3:30 on 1430 ESPN, we'll have Dodgers versus Phillies. On 790, it'll be Cubs versus Brewers at 10:30. And then on 790, we'll also have 5 p.m. start time for Tigers versus Mariners. Sunday, October 5th, we'll have the Raiders going up against the Colts, 9:30 p.m. start time. I think that's the 9:30 pregame, right?
Yep, 9:30 pregame,
10 p.m. start time.
14:30 on 14:30, because usually we put them on 7:90, but since there's no other games.
There's no Niners, no Rams, so the Raiders will get the 14:30 treatment. And then on 14:30 at 5 o'clock, Sunday Night Football, Patriots versus the Buffalo Bills. On 790, we'll have some MLB playoffs. 12:30, we'll have the Yankees versus the Blue Jays. And then on 790 at 4:30, we'll have Game 2 of Tigers versus Mariners. Going into Monday, 14:30 at 2 o'clock, we'll be back with Sportsline Bulldog Hour from 2 to 3 with Tony D. And 14:30 ESPN, Phil will be back on Monday, which it'll be a two-hour Behind the Bench leading into Monday Night Football on 5 o'clock between the Chiefs and the Jaguars. Both of those will be on 14:30. 7:90, we'll have game two of the NLDS between the Dodgers and the Phillies at 2:30. And then on 790 at 5:30, it'll be Cubs versus Brewers. And then last day, Tuesday, wrapping it up, it's Sportsline Bulldog Hour on 1430 at 2 o'clock from 2 to 3. And then from 3 o'clock, I think we'll have a full show from 3 to 6 behind the bench on 1430. While ALDS game 3, both of them, the Blue Jays versus Yankees and the Tigers versus Mariners, those two games, times will be subject to change. All right, let's do the Daily Spread brought to you by Chicchancy Gold Resort and Casino. When you aren't trying your luck with your teams, try your luck at Chicchancy Gold Resort and Casino. I think it's a fantastic place to go and get your casino and your football fix. Today's spread, we're going to go with Fresno State versus Nevada. You brought it up. It was 13.5 points. Large spread even for a home game, but clearly the books favor the dogs. Do you guys think 13.5 is just about right, or is it not enough, or... You know, is it just giving us too much credit? What do you think?
I first saw the spread and I was like, that kind of seems high. And then we started talking about it and I was like, this actually seems pretty reasonable. I think that the dogs can definitely hit the over on that or hit the line on that spread. So I don't think it's crazy at all.
Yeah, Chloe,
I'm gonna have to agree. I feel like that looks good. It's looking good. I mean, I said all my opinion on it earlier, so
yeah,
I'll leave it at that.
You said two touchdowns already. I was like, all right, well, that's where she's going. I agree with that, though. Jorge?
I feel like, they're definitely going to be up, but maybe 10 points.
10 points?
10 points will be about right.
You know, I agree with what Sergio said. Like, it was, as we started talking about it, I think that my opinion had swayed to, I think that we will win by two touchdowns or more. I think that this Fresno State team will cover that 13.5. Obviously, it's a large spread to cover, but you know, in college football, anything can go. As we have a little bit of time here, we got about 5 minutes left of the show. I just wanted to talk about some college football happening this weekend. Is there a particular game you guys are looking out for over this weekend? Chloe, we'll start with you.
Just because I know everyone has missed it, my San Jose State Spartans are playing tonight. They're playing New Mexico. San Jose coming off of a very unfortunate loss last week against Stanford by 1 point. But I don't know. I want to say that I heard that they're favored to win. So I'm really excited for that game. And then also Cal and Penn playing tomorrow. Or not Cal, sorry. UCLA and Penn playing tomorrow.
UCLA has been absolutely horrible.
I know.
It's wild to me. I know they got Nico Iamaleava from Tennessee and that whole story that came through about him, but the fact that they're 0-4, I think it just is a terrible look on the Bruins program.
I'm really hoping that tomorrow they'll finally get a win. I feel like every weekend I'm just excited for their game because I'm waiting till like they get a win, because UCLA, I've always seen them as such a strong department athletics. So it's really hard to watch this season. So I'm really hoping they finally get their win.
Yeah, I'm looking at Vanderbilt and Alabama. Vandy's offense has been insane. They scored 70 points just 2 weeks ago, and I think they put up 50 just last week. And they are going into Tuscaloosa, and Bama just did upset Georgia. But I feel like Vandy has always got this, you know, chip on their shoulder when they go play Alabama. You guys see, you know, you always see that clip of the Vandy player from years ago being like, we're going to show you how to play some real SEC football.
Yes, that was such a funny video.
I think they might actually do it this time. So, I don't know. Watch out for Vanderbilt.
Jorge, you got something?
Oh, I'm definitely, I got a couple of games. I got Texas, Florida that I want to watch. And of course, I want to see what Archie Manning has.
Yeah.
The Boise State Notre Dame. I don't know if Boise State's up to this challenge, but the one that I really want to watch is Miami against Florida. I think Miami's gonna get shut down here. Florida has been strong. Florida has been looking good. I know that they had a mishap, with that loss, but I feel like they're still pretty strong of a team, and they have enough that they could rattle Miami definitely.
No, for sure, for sure. you guys kind of took all the games that I was thinking. So I will go with a little bit of an underrated game. I'm going to go with number 11, Texas Tech, going to unranked Houston. Both of these teams are 4-0. We know Texas Tech has brought in a lot of players through NIL, and it seems to be working out for them, but they're going to Houston in an all-Texas battle. I think this could be a very, very fun game. Texas Tech is favored by 11.5, but I think anything can happen, especially when you travel down to Houston. Some other stuff that I'm looking at over this weekend. I'm a big UFC fan. I know that my brother is a massive UFC fan. Shout out to him. He is going to be rooting so hard for Alex Pereira as they have UFC 320 this weekend on literally tomorrow. You can watch that on pay-per-view on ESPN on the ESPN app. Magomed Ankalaev going against Alex Pereira. I think this is a matchup that Pereira, you know, as dominant as he was over these last couple of years, he kind of met his match. But I think that there's going to be a renewed spark in Pereira, and I think that he will find a way to get that title back. I know he's an underdog, and I will say that this is a very tough matchup, especially with the game plan that Ankalaev always puts out. But I will say, I think Pereira gets it done. I think he gets the upset victory. I think he finally gets that light heavyweight championship back. And hopefully we can get another matchup between him and Jiří Procházka. Is there anything you guys are else that you guys are watching for this weekend?
Small college football shout out, but Cal Poly, they upset Sac State last week. They've got UC Davis, Battle for the Golden Horseshoe, very historic rivalry. So definitely excited for that. Cal Poly finally has a winning record after however many years. So I'm excited to watch that game.
And I was just talking to Sergio that I'm excited for the, this is what I'm saying, Cal and Duke game.
Yes.
It was like something of the nerds.
Oh, Battle of the Nerd Schools.
Battle of the Nerd Schools. But we were saying like Cal is a very underrated football school.
Yes.
And I love watching their play.
Brought up their quarterback. He is playing so good. And I think he's a freshman, if I'm not mistaken. He is playing so, so well. And I am very excited for what Cal has in store for the next couple of months. Jorge, you got anything else that you're watching this weekend?
Well, I'm watching a bunch of stuff. I'm watching some F1 racing too, and some soccer. So I'll keep you updated on that.
Yep, I'll be watching some soccer too. All right. For Jorge, for Sergio, for Chloe, I'm Tanvir. I want to thank everybody that allowed me to be on the show. I want to thank Phil for letting me hop on the show for these last 2 days. I'll be back next week producing the show for Phil. You've been listening to Behind the Bench on ESPN Radio 1430, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader.